Amen. Ja. Ja, men du... How many of you know that you can go to Muhammad, you can go to all these graves, Mahatma Gandhi, and they are all still there. They're not empty. That the validity of Christianity is not in the cross or the crucifixion. I'm going to say it again. I know Roman Catholics wear a cross with the crucifixion still on. The problem with that symbol is that there's no power in that. There's salvation in that. Are you guys with me? But power comes when we believe in the resurrection. So salvation is in the crucifixion, but the revelation of the resurrection brings a Christian to move and walk in power. So I want you, listen here, my goal this morning, I hate Sunday mornings because I can never wake up on a Sunday morning. It's not because I'm lazy or sleeping late, it's because my hours actually are usually till 3 or 4 in the morning. That's what I've been used to for years, so I'm trying to get out of that. So to try to wake up for you is difficult. I wake up, then I get into the bath and I fall asleep, and then Chris has to like knock on the door and wake me up again. And so just understand that. So that you don't take, you know, some people will even take offense now. The pastor must be praying for us this morning. Shh. I prayed for you yesterday the whole day. Okay? So I don't like mornings. But you know, I was thinking yesterday as I was praying the whole day just in my prayer room, I was thinking of how much I love ECC and the people that are here. And how God has given you to me, although that wants to be given, God has given you to me. And, you know, when God gives a prophet to a people or a people to a prophet, and, you know, I'm going to explain to you something today about a way that angels work. And just to settle some confusion and to explain something. But when a prophet is given to a people or a people is given to a prophet, and it is, you know, it means that there's a shift in the season. It's, you know, I've shared with those around me, I've gone through poverty, I've gone through persecution, I've gone through all those things so that you don't have to go through it. So that if I can, so I've gone through poverty and I've tasted riches, but so that I can prophesy to you prosperity when I see you. You know, it is impossible to give something that you'd never have. Peter, James, and John said, Peter and John said, only what we have can we give you. Meaning, we don't have silver and gold, Peter was saying, but money, but what we do have, we can give you in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. So, only what I have, I can give you. I was speaking to a lot of people, and many of them go to other churches and so on, and the one person was complaining, and they were saying that you know, they want to move in signs and wonders or prophecy or this or that. I said to them, so what church are you in? They explained to me what church are they in. I know already that the pastor can't move in it. But I just asked them, I said, have you ever seen healings or miracles or prophecy or forensic prophecy? And they'll say to me, no, we haven't even seen it. But, you know, we want to take it there. We want to start it. And as sincere as what that motive is, it is not going to work. So I always tell them, I say, listen here, what that person have who you sit under, if they don't have it, they cannot give it. As simple as that. These things we are speaking about is a spiritual substance. It is a tangible substance. Are you guys with me? It is a substance that you can feel or taste. When importation comes, you can feel it. It is something that is tangible. Are you guys with me? So, you know, the church we are in, the environment that we are in, is crucial to our spiritual development. It's crucial to the opening of eyes that I'm going to explain to you now that comes to the resurrection. But it is crucial for importation because you can only receive as much as what you sit under. Are you guys with me? Are you with me? You sound dead on a Sunday morning. I just heard news. It makes my heart so glad. I'm on a lot of certain health or vitamin pills and stuff like that, so that makes me gives me dry mouth. I heard that a huge church that I love, obviously that I love, they're using me as an example of what a false prophet is. Just because they can't figure it out. So just because I can stand and say a name in front of someone or do this, I think it was last week Sunday, we said the work, the whole work situation that the person is in, and that's just still small. I said to our team, we're doing it small so we can just slowly get into it and teach people how to do it and how to receive. Otherwise, I hurt the gift if I do it and people are not honoring it. So, so obviously when people see that your pastor or teacher or so, when they see that and they cannot do it, they automatically think it must not be God. And that is where religion comes in. When we think that, okay, but how is, you know, what if somebody walks, I haven't heard of a miracle walking on water, but let's say somebody walks on water, we will all judge him and say he's a false prophet. But yet Jesus did it, which means we believe in a historical Jesus, where he is the same today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Are you guys with me? He is the same, which means in our minds, religion has taken us to cause us to believe in a historical God, where we should believe in a present God, that he's the same today as what he was yesterday, if not greater, because he said that you shall do greater works than what he did. So I want to be even as bold to say he is greater today than what he was yesterday. Are you guys with me? Look, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, this weekend is the most important weekend and days for Christianity as believers. Very important. Yet some will just want to stay home. It is the most important. This is the start and the very essence of Christianity. Are you guys with me? The crucifixion and the resurrection. The only problem is the whole world believes in the crucifixion. Everybody believes that Christ died on the cross. But what they don't believe is his resurrection. So what sets us apart is when we believe in his resurrection. When you believe in his crucifixion, it's okay. Your sins can be forgiven you. But when you believe in his resurrection, that is now when power comes in. When the Apostle Paul said, that I may know you, the power of your resurrection, and the fellowship of your sufferings. He said that I may know you. But first of all, I must know the power of your resurrection. The way somebody is raised from the dead is when you believe that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling inside of you. If that Spirit dwells inside of you, how can somebody not get healed or delivered? How can somebody not get saved? How can you not jump up from your seat understanding, but wait, the same Spirit rose Christ from the dead is raising me right now, is operating inside of me. Are you guys with me? So with the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead is inside of me. It's the same Holy Ghost. Which means that when you get a headache, it's the same Holy Ghost. That we're doing him an injustice if we don't put him to practice. Because the same Spirit took Christ out of hell. Are you guys with me? On the second day, Christ went into the underworld. And I explained a little bit just now. And he had a crusade there. And he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave back. That's why hell could not keep him. And the grave could not hold him. Are you guys with me? Jesus, and I thought of throwing this title out quickly last night. Jesus was never killed on the cross. Okay? And find out why. Let's go through to Luke chapter number 24, verse number 1. Luke chapter number 24, verse number 1. Zadundum. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women, say with you, women, with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away. I want you to listen to every word and then write down what I'm going to say. I'm going to minister to you revelation this morning. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing that a woman was going to look for him. Where were the men? It's amazing that majority in the church is women and not men. Are you guys with me? They went in and they could not find his body. Listen to me. Elijah was taken up into heaven. Enoch was taken up into heaven. But they have to come back by the laws of this nature to come and die a physical death here. That's the rule. They cannot break that rule. Are you guys with me? They already broken the rule by going there. They have to come back and die. Those are the two prophets that the book of Revelation speaks about that will come back. But then we have a problem when it comes to Jesus. Because when they went to his tomb, they found no body there. No physical body. Are you guys with me? Yet he was born from the womb of a virgin Mary. And he came out of that womb. And he had a body like ours. Grew up like ours. Worked before he even worked miracles. Then he stepped into the life that he was forever called to be at the age of 30. And he began to work miracles in his humanity. So with humanity. Because that means that whatever he did, we can do. And we shall do greater. He emptied himself, the scripture says, of all divinity. Are you guys with me? So listen. How is it that Elijah and Enoch has to come back, but Jesus' body was missing when they came to the tomb? Because what comes from dust should go back to dust. Your body must go back to dust. This is not your glorified body. Are you guys with me? Although your glorified body will look the same, but better. So, but it'll look the same. You won't even know the difference. Okay. And believe this or not, your glorified body will be flesh. I know people are like, what is this? Okay. The scripture says, before things were spiritual, before even God was spiritual, there was flesh. So let's leave it there. Okay? So, where was I? Jesus. Everything that comes from the dust should go back to the dust. But why was Jesus not? You see, when Mary fell pregnant, conceived Jesus by the Holy Ghost, it was the seed and the blood that came from the Father that started building the body of Jesus Christ, because the blood, the seed and the blood begins to build the body. And the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But that was the beginning of the heavens and the earth. But in the beginning of God, the Bible says in John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh, which means when Jesus was walking like this, his flesh was made up of the Word of God. That's why when he died, he didn't have to go back to the dust. He had to go back to his source, which was God in heaven. That means that if Jesus stood by the Sea of Galilee and he looked for a boat and he couldn't find a boat, that he began to walk on the water, because the water had to submit, the molecular density of the water had to change and submit to the Word of God. So that means the more you get the Word in, the Word becomes your flesh. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. The more you read this Word, and it becomes rhema, and it becomes revelation, and it becomes hapto, it becomes what we call the sent Word. And then it becomes, with Psalm 119 says, the Word the entrance of the word. Now it begins to enter into you. Before it enters into you, it must first be opened up to you. You'll see that you'll understand all of it now. Yeah, when we preach, listen. When that word comes in like that, every impossibility around you must submit and change. Are you guys with me? It is the word that carries power. It is the revealed word that carries power. Namely, listen here. Isn't it amazing that we can call a prayer meeting and everybody would be here praying? I can say, we got a conference coming up Friday, we're praying. We got 200 people here praying. But I say, okay, I want 200 people to come and we're going to read about 20 chapters of the Bible. You'll have two rows here. Isn't it amazing that you can get into your room and you can pray? But as soon as you touch that Bible and you want to read, you don't understand. You maybe you understand, but you get bored. And you close it. Because your capacity isn't big yet. And the devil knows that if you get that word in, this word is God-breathed. It is the Logos word of God that keeps that everything may fall away. But even the foundations of this earth may fall away. But the Logos word of God will remain. That is why Jesus is the word. He's the Logos and the Rhema, the revealed word, the revealed expressed glory of God. So when he died, his body went back to his source, his Father. That resurrection brings the validity of Christianity. Because they can deny and say or approve and say the crucifixion is fine. Everybody can be crucified, but not the resurrection. Are you guys with me? And I have documents in my possession, journals from Pontius Pilate, where they would send spies out to go look and journal the life of Jesus. And you must see the most amazing things they say there. And Malchus, if you would remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Malchus, Peter wanted to chop off his head because they dared touch Jesus. So I always say, those who want to chop off the heads of others, if they touch me, they are loyal. Okay? That's why Alan snaps and swears and then it'll confuse you because you see me on the stage here and the anointing just keeps flowing. And you don't understand, and these people don't understand. How can you swear at them? Because they touch me, okay? When they touch Jesus, Peter said, no, I will kill this guy. I think this is too much for you. If it's too much, get the religion out, man. Get backsliding out. Don't come to church only on Easter. Don't come to church only. You will only have a problem if you're here for Easter. You're going to have a big, big, big problem. So, become a Peter. Amen. That can betray Jesus with a good heart and come back weeping. That all the other disciples were told by the woman, but an angel was sent to Peter when he backslid to go and tell Peter. Are you guys with me? Angel was sent and told everybody, and he said, go and tell the disciples and Peter. I just need a little bit more volume. Sorry, on the monitors, guys. It feels like it's empty. It's draining my voice. So that God was so concerned, it's better, thank you, that the angel pointed Peter's name out and said, yes, go and tell the other disciples that he is risen, but also go tell Peter, which means that Peter touched something in Jesus' heart. And sometimes you can have the most loyal people that would kill for you, betray you, but it's not a bad heart that betrayed you. Are you guys with me? Judas was a bad heart. So I just thought of throwing that into Alan with Alan. Not that he's going to betray me, but, you know, I'm somebody different. If somebody screams at someone for me, I'll be like, yes. Okay? I don't have to do it. So where were we? Listen to this. They went in and they did not find the body. The body went back to the word. It was the word of the Lord Jesus. Next word. Next verse. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Say with me, he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. Listen to me. Listen to the angels here. They say, remember when Jesus spoke to you, not in Jerusalem, but remember the sermon preached in Galilee. Many of you will have a dream of somebody speaking to you. It might be me in the dream, and we're doing a dream interpretation course right now. Or it might be something telling you and speaking to you, a sermon, or reminding you of something that I said. It is what we call angels of remembrance. You'll be amazed how many angels come to you in dreams. Are you guys with me? It's what I call angels of remembrance. And I was called at the age of 17 to be a prophet. At the age of 17, I was called to be a prophet. That's when I got saved. The first calling God said to me, he said, do not be dismayed by their faces. Do not be discouraged, like he said to Jeremiah. But before I even formed you in your mother's womb, I've ordained you a prophet. And that voice came to me, speaking that to me. I never wanted that. I never, ever, ever desired that. So I became an evangelist. Okay? And then, I promise you. And then I began to evangelize all over schools and churches and did revival meetings. And I did nothing in me wanted to be a prophet. Nothing. And those who want to be, they are not called to be. Nothing in me wanted to be one. And then, I think it was about 2 years ago, I have the date and everything written down. As I was preparing for you for a New Year's Eve service, the heavens opened up in my living room. And as I looked up, I was sitting by my dining room table. And as I looked up, I saw a man standing on my right-hand side. Same length as all the angels that I experienced. Same length. And simply said these words, do not forget that you have been called. Do not forget what you have been called at the age of 17. And then it disappeared. So, you know, it's a very bad thing to miss your calling. And God also allows it, because you have his permissible will and then you have his perfect will. Many of you are in his permissible will. I have been in his permissible will. But then we have his perfect will. That is something else. And once you hear this perfect will, it's just so nice. There's so much peace. Let's carry on reading. He is not here, but is risen. Remember. So if you remember. So these are angels of remembrance, and they can come and visit you too. How he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. Remember the sermon he preached, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. This thing. And be crucified. And the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb. The woman. Say with me, the woman. And told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Johanna, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the other woman with them, who told these things to the apostles. Isn't it amazing? Do you know how many women followed Jesus' ministry? In fact, his ministry followers was made up of women. Yes, he had his disciples who he was training, but those who supported him financially was made up by women. Even the story saying even Herod's wife. Yes, I know Herod's highest position leader, his wife was there, but there's stories that saying even Herod's own wife was financially supporting Jesus' ministry. She obviously hated him after her husband, you know. So let's go to verse 11. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, And they did not believe them. Who did not believe them? The apostles and the disciples. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. And stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves. And departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Are you guys still with me? Now behold, so I'm speaking about the resurrection here. And how they saw that his body was today. Verse 13. Now behold, two of them is disciples. So the disciples. It's disciples / apostles. We're not exactly sure, but let's say disciples. Two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. When your talk amongst your friends, amongst your family, changes from rugby or clothes or this to the presence of God, speaking about mystery, speaking about God, you will feel him drawing closer to you. Are you guys with me? It says he drew close to them, but their eyes, say with me, but this is the problem. Their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Listen, this is what I want to preach on. Listen. These are disciples. Are you guys with me? These are apostles that they walked next to the resurrected Savior, a person who was resurrected, and they didn't even know it was Jesus. Their eyes was blinded to see him. A lot of people ask me and tell me, why do I say in the church in Mark chapter number 4, Matthew chapter 4, where it says that I have given them ears that they cannot hear and eyes that they cannot see, so that less and a heart that they cannot understand, lest they understand, change, and be converted and their sins be forgiven them. So Jesus is saying, I have made them blind so they cannot be forgiven. These were disciples, like you and I sitting in this church. Are you guys with me? But their eyes was closed, and they were unable to see the resurrection. They were unable to see God walking next to them. How many believers are unable to see anything? Their eyes were restrained. So there are people whose eyes are closed, and there's nothing they can do about it. Unless God decides to open it, or they're in a prophetic anointing where their eyes can be opened. And I'm speaking to you scripture now. Are you guys with me? Elisha prayed for his servant and he said, God, may you open his eyes. And when his eyes were open, he saw chariots of fire round about Elisha. Are you guys with me? And it is amazing that Elijah went up by a whirlwind with chariots of fire, which means that impartation came upon Elisha. You know, where we are with the church, and we'll finish just now, don't worry. We actually have time. So, where we are as a church, the attacks now, we're not 100 or 200. We're sitting 800, 700 to 800 on a Sunday. 200, yeah. You know, there's little fights or so. But when you get to our level where we have to get a new building and we're going to be multiplying campuses and etc., the devil is going to be mad and he will do everything. He'll plaster my name, and I told you, be ready for it. To say that I'm in adultery or this or that, you know. And that depends. I always say to people, if they can make it with me through their crucifixion, through my crucifixion, they deserve my resurrection. And as a rule for your own life, don't have friends that have not walked with you through a winter period or through a crucifixion with you. When they've stuck it through, they are then to enjoy your glorification, the resurrection. Are you guys with me? So, I don't know. Sorry, I love God so much. I can preach to you like this. You know, as I said, we're going to do maybe this year. We're just sorting out some sound stuff and so on. But we're going to do a thing where we preach the whole night through. We'll start at 9. But you'll see impartation and miracles by 11 or 12. Because that is the watches, believe it or not, that God works in. Where the spiritual realm is active. That's why the early church had church then. Okay? So where are we? Verse 16. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, listen to this. What kind of conversation is this that you were having with one another? Walk and as you walk and are sad. He's just being funny now. Then one of the guys whose name was Cleopas. We don't know who he is, but let's say Cleopas. Answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? Imagine this. These guys were so blinded that they were trying to teach Jesus about Jesus. Are you guys with me? It's like you get people, they want to teach prophets about the prophetic. Oh, they know much better, but they've never done anything. With me, they've never done anything, ever anything. Live, beg money for water, electricity, beg money for airtime. But they want to teach me on the prophetic. Please. Those things don't even entertain. It's actually funny. It causes a bit of entertainment for us when we watch these things. Okay. Where are we now? Verse 18. So imagine how stupid they sounded. They said, don't you know which happened? Verse 19. And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned, death, and crucified. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished. When they did not find his body, they came saying, and they have also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures. So while he was walking on the road, he began to expound and open up the scriptures to them, the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village. Where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. Say with me, indicated that he would have gone further. Say with me again, say indicated. Listen. They constrained him. The word constrains means to violently, say with me violently, passionately, desperately, aggressively, take a hold of him and pull him into your life. That's what the word constrain means. It means to strongly urge. Which means when it looks like God is not in your life, he is just acting as if he is not there and walking past. But he's waiting for a hungry heart that is saying, I'm not going to allow you to walk past me, but I'm going to grab a hold of you and pull you into my life. He is waiting for a desperate people. Are you guys with me? That's why when you go to Africa, you'll have people so hungry. When I was in Namibia, you will have people so hungry that you'll have people so hungry that they jump to the stage, they grab your clothes, and we would think, oh, it's idolatry. And you know, the people say, you know, what's happening in some of these prophetic churches and all idolatry. No, you're just exposing your rebellion. Verse 29, but they constrained him You know now what constrain means. Saying, abide with us. The other translation says, stay with us. Say with me, stay with us. For it is towards evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. All Jesus wants is somebody to say, listen, just for tonight, I want you to be in my room. Come and stay with me. I want to worship you. I want to talk to you. I want to spend time with you. You'll be amazed. The presence of God that will come upon you. Even if you go and watch TV, you'll be amazed at the tugging of your heart towards that appointment that is made. Listen to this. Now it came to pass, he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, saith he bread. He blessed it and he broke it. Saith he blessed and say broke. We'll get into that now. And gave it to them to eat. Once they've eaten. Verse 31. Then, say with you, then, their eyes were opened and they knew him. Imagine the revelation. This is what we call revelation. It's the opening of eyes. As I said, that ECC is not a church. It is a revelation. It is an apocalypsis. A revealing and an opening of eyes. Something that's always been there, but now you can see it. That once you sit under this word, and as God has called me, because I minister it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll go back to other places, and you'll be like, it's not the, you're in the prophetic church now, but then you go back to, you know, you want to go visit somebody else, or I know God bless their souls, as great as what they are, and there are many churches that are better than us, okay, and you get there, you just feel, they give a motivational talk on, your best life today. And you're just like, there's no substance. You just feel out of place. It's because your eyes have been opened already. Don't go back to the place where it's darkened. Even Jesus, when he healed the man's hand in the synagogue. Are you guys with me? Or am I boring? We'll close now. Jesus, when he healed the man's hand. The man said, put it in your coat. And the man put his withered hand into his coat. And he took it out and it was healed. Put it back in and it was withered. Put it back in and it was healed. When he put it in, it got healed. Meaning, if you stay under the right covering, your spirit can be so healthy. Are you guys with me? And then, the Bible says that Jesus looked for him and couldn't find him. And then he found him in the synagogue, worshiping God. And he came to him and he said, what are you doing here? Have you fallen back into sin? Go read the scripture. I've thought on it. Have you fallen back into sin? Meaning, I just got you out of the law. Now you went back and go sit under the law again. The very place that couldn't heal you, number one. Number two, the one that preaches the law. You're sitting there again, which means you are. Then Jesus said to him, go out and sin no more. Which means he was sinning while he was sitting there. Are you guys with me? I'm not speaking of church now. I'm speaking of religion and the law. Jesus looked for him, found him in another man's church. He says, listen, go and sin no more. You're back into the law again. We don't have time. Let's go on. Listen. Their eyes were opened. And they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn with us while he talked with us on the road? And while he said with me, opened the scripture. When the scripture is open to you, usually if I sit with somebody one-on-one and I get into revelation, it'll be 5 minutes and their spirit will begin to burn here. It means the scripture has been opened. Are you guys with me? They said, when he opened the scripture to us, so they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were there with them gathered together saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon, and they about things that happened to the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Say with me, the breaking of bread. Listen, I'm going to read that verse again, 35. Listen to this. It says, and they told the things that has happened on the road and how he was known. Say with him, known. By the breaking of the bread. They said, listen, he was known. We had a revelation of him, but the word know is gnosko, which means we've experienced him by the breaking of the bread. Listen. The breaking of the bread means two things. It brought the opening of the eyes. Are you guys with me? First, they had to invite Jesus in. And then number two, they had to sit at the table. Are you guys with me? Sitting at the table. And number three, they had to give him the platform, which means Jesus took the bread and broke it. It was a form of prayer. So they gave him, even they didn't know it was Jesus, they gave him the platform. I don't know if this thing is working so well as what it was for me yesterday in my prayer, but anyway, listen. Then he blessed. So he blessed it. Then he broke it. God will only bless those who he can break. And when it came to the fish and the bread, then multiplication took place. Multiplication comes after the breaking. Are you guys with me? But the breaking must go hand in hand with the blessing, which means God is looking at a person who can be broken. And it's like, that one, I'm going to bless, because his heart can be broken in a good way. And when he's broken, then he can be multiplied and distributed. Listen, unless a grain of seed falls to the ground and dies, it cannot live. But when it dies, if it dies, it will bear much fruit. Which means Jesus was sown as a seed to this earth by the Father, falling to the ground, dying, and then bearing much fruit, which is you and I sitting in this place, filled with the Spirit of God. Bearing fruit. Are you guys with me? Multiplication. When it comes to us e-groups multiplying, we're sitting 45 around there. We got a lot of people, and churches will multiply. Multiplication comes because a people allow themselves to be broken. Are you guys with me? They allow themselves to be broken. And then when they eat, so number one, the key to the opening of our eyes is dying to ourselves. Number two, going through the process of brokenness. Are you guys with me? In the Old Testament, it took a prophet to open the eyes of his servant. That was in the Old Testament. It causes somebody to be blessed. Listen. I want you to understand this. They invited him into their house. They asked him to eat with them. They sat at the table. They gave him a platform without knowing it as Jesus whom they were talking to. They asked him to pray. It is crucial that in our business, our family, we give him the platform. We are not speaking about a dead God. We are speaking about someone who had the power to lay their lives down and to pick it back up. He said to Pontius Pilate, when Pontius Pilate said these words, he said, listen, do you not know your life is in my hands? Tell me if you are innocent so that I can save you from this. Even his wife had a dream, came to Pontius Pilate and said, do not get involved in this thing. You'll be guilty. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah. You'll see now why. They say that it was revealed in the dream of the wife, the theologians. And she then ministered to Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate said, listen, your life is in my hands. It's my decision now to kill you or not. Jesus answered him. He said, I do not come from this world. I am a king from another world. Because he asked him, he said, are you a king of these people? Because if you're a king, you need to be saved. And I need to help you. Pontius Pilate's heart was good. Are you guys with me? Jesus said, I am a king, but from another world. He said, let me just throw in, by the way, that I alone have the power to lay my life down and to pick it up back again. Meaning, you don't have the power, Pontius. Meaning, if you have the Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead inside of you, a car accident does not have the power. Sickness does not have the power. This is how we must live. Burglars or crime does not have the power. You alone have the power to give up the ghost or not. That when he was crucified, listen, they put the spear in on his side and water and blood came out. It's speaking of the birth of the church. Meaning, if a woman gives birth, it's water and blood. Are you guys with me? That's where the church started. All the time we say the church started in the upper room. No. It started when Christ was on the cross and the church was taken out of his side, like Eve was taken out of Adam's side. Okay, are you guys with me? There's so much I want to tell you. Listen. They did it because they thought they wanted to see that he's dead. What has happened is Robbie can help me or somebody that's a teacher. It was over 500 prophecies fulfilled of his resurrection or 5,000. I can't remember. I think it is more. Yeah, it's more. But anyway, if you study the possibility of those prophecies to be fulfilled by one man, what I will do is tonight will show you how it is, what is the possibility, and then how he fulfilled every one of them. And that means, and he's already fulfilled more than half of his coming back. It's called the validation of Christianity. It was a rule, a custom for the Roman soldiers to break the legs of those who are crucified, that they can not lift themselves up to breathe so that they can die. Are you guys with me? So they broke the two legs on the side. But when they came to Jesus to break his legs, they saw he was already gone, because just before then, he looked up and he said, "Father, receive my spirit into your hands." Meaning, I give, the Bible says he gave up the ghost, which means no one killed him. It was in his power. Are you guys with me? He gave up the ghost. And this fulfilled the prophecy in the book of Psalm, where King David said that his bones will not be broken or bruised when he's on the cross. That's just one out of many that he has fulfilled. Are you guys with me? Let's get on. Verse 35. We are there. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 12, verse 39. Matthew chapter 12, verse 39. And we'll be finished just now. I wish we had more time in the morning. Listen to this. But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign." If you're looking for a miracle, you're evil and adulterous. "And no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Are you guys with me? Say with me, Jonah. Listen to me. There's a life that you can live that we call a double life. Not what you think a double life is. There's someone that has already lived your life. And I want you to tap into that. Listen to me. The word yada. I hope you are my people so you can understand. Yada. What does yada mean? To know. Are you guys with me? It means to know and have fellowship and experiential knowledge and a conversation beforehand. So when God said to Jeremiah, "I have known you even before you were formed in your mother's womb," it meant they had a conversation in heaven discussing his plan. Listen, your spirit already, I was watching a movie last night with my wife, the first movie this year. Not because I love movies. We were just working very hard. Overboard. How many of you have watched that, Overboard? I hope now that's not a bad movie. Like, you know. Okay. And people that judge me, you know, people say, how dare you watch that, yet they watch pornography. I'm telling you. So, we watch Overboard, and I see this rich man, and they trick him to becoming a poor man because he lost his memory. But the whole time he says these words, he's like, this is not my life. I'm not this poor. My body doesn't, I don't fit in with this poor lifestyle. And he's complaining the whole time, but he had amnesia. But he knows, when he even looked at the woman, I wouldn't marry an ugly woman like this. There was something in him that could remember his previous. There's something in you that can remember the conversation your spirit had with God before you were sent to this earth. I don't know if you guys understand me. Are you with me? Or are you like, I'm a Satanist now? Okay. This revelation will set you free, eh? And it's the truth. So, your spirit will be homesick. The Bible says we are sojourners, strangers, traveling through this country on our way to our destination, being a citizenship in heaven, registered in heaven. Are you guys with me? You came from heaven. You were just born on this earth. That is the truth. So our spirits will go back to the Father of spirits. Okay? So listen. There's a life that you can step into before. If you're now in a place you don't know what to do, you're not prospering, things are going wrong, God has a life for you. There's a direct copy or duplicate that has already been played out long before you were born. I tell you something. Jonah, Jesus said, if you're looking for a sign of my life, accept the sign of Jonah. Are you guys with me? Jonah was sent to a Gentile nation. Jesus, we know, was sent to the Jews, but ultimately, the plan was for salvation to come to the Gentiles. Are you guys with me? All of us sitting here. Jesus on the cross gave up the ghost. So he gave up the ghost. When Jonah was in the ship, he said, listen here, you need to throw me out of the ship. Otherwise, you will all die. It is because of me that you are in trouble. Throw me off. Then the storm will cease. Jesus gave up the ghost and got crucified for you and me so that we don't have to go through trouble. Jonah said, cast me off, throw me out, kill me so that you don't have to go through trouble. Jonah was so in the spirit that he lived a double life, the life that God has ordained for him before the foundation of this world, which just happened to be the same as Jesus' life. The whole Old Testament is in resemblance and a shadow and a type. Listen. Jonah was on a ship, sleeping. Jesus was on a ship, sleeping in a storm. Are you guys with me? Listen, the Bible says that Jonah went into the grave, into hell. Go with me too. Let's read from Jonah chapter number 2, verse 2. I want to show you something. And I want to break a belief that is not right. Listen here. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me out of the belly. Say with the belly. So hell has a body. Out of the belly of hell, of Sheol. This was not symbolic. The man literally went to hell. Okay. Hell is in the middle of the earth. Do you guys know that? Listen to this. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried and you heard my voice. Next verse. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Next verse. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Go for one verse back. I'm just looking for something. Next verse. Then I said, I've been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Next verse. The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Next verse. I went down to the moorings of the mountains, Sothi mountains. This was before anybody could have ever proved that there were mountains under the ocean. And there is proven that there are chasms in the ocean, if I can say it like that, that goes deep, close to the middle of the earth. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. So they forever. Hell. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. Listen, Jonah was the only person who walked into hell and walked out of there alive. Then Jesus was the second one who went to hell and came out of there alive. I know this is a bit too deep, but we want to dilute scripture to say, no, he was just in the belly of a fish. No, it says Sheol. So we have a fight against the word of God now. Our beliefs have taught us wrong. Are you guys with me? He says, go for it to verse 4. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Jesus said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And God's face was turned away from him, out of his sight. As Jonah was out of God's sight, Jesus was out of God's sight. Say with me, a double life. Nineveh, listen. I know it is late. If somebody can just talk to the guys outside, they can get a coffee. I need to get this through to you. I'm going to try to do it in 5 minutes. Listen. Are you guys with me? Otherwise, the message is not going to make sense. When the fish spat out Jonah, you must understand that the people of Nineveh were worshiping a fish god and the sea. And they had prophecies that a man will come out of the sea and bring salvation to their people. Are you guys with me? So here comes a fish spitting out Jonah. He lands there full of seaweed, been to hell and back. And he preached for 40 days, 40 days. Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, before we get there, listen here. Jonah had to come by a fish so that the people can believe. Jesus had to come through the womb of Mary as flesh so that the people can believe. Are you guys with me? And Jonah preached to Nineveh for 40 days. Jesus preached after he was raised from the dead for 40 days. What did Jonah do? Listen. What did Jonah do? He copied the life of Jesus. He imitated Jesus. The Bible says we need to imitate him. Are you guys with me? There's a life that you had. He had a moment. Before you were even a twinkle in your father's eye. Where God knew you. And he planned out your life. And you and him discussed your life. It's going to go like this. It's going to go like that. That is why you can get to a place if you want to buy a house or go into a job where your spirit will tell you yes or no. Because your spirit knows the blueprint of your life. I don't know if you guys are with me. Are you guys with me? Say with me, open my eyes. Have your seats. We'll finish now. I mostly spoke and I said about we need to have a revelation. Say with me, a revelation of the resurrection. Why? Why do we need a revelation? Because everybody knows of his death. But not everybody believes in his resurrection. Let me just read one scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5. I'll close with this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5. And that he was seen, the other translation says appeared, which means to be revealed by Cephas. Then he went to the 12. Next, verse 7 says he appeared and he saw appeared again to James. Read that. And then to all the apostles. He revealed himself after his resurrection. Are you guys with me? And I can go to the book of Acts where they say that he revealed himself. There were, Bible says, there were many infallible proofs of his resurrection. Many. You know, say with me, a revelation. They received a revelation of the resurrection. The crucifixion is good as for salvation, but we must go beyond the crucifixion to a place of power. That we know that power is not only dunamis, but it is the same spirit that raised him from the dead, Christ from the dead, is breathing and living and moving on the inside of us. Go with me to Mark 16, verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. I'll close with this. And he said to them, now remember this command. Are you guys with me? I know it's a long word. Listen, this is the command, but this command happened after the resurrection, not before. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Next verse. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Next verse. And these signs will follow those who believe. So if you believe, believe what? His resurrection. Many people believe in him, but do they truly believe that he was resurrected and the same spirit that's in him is living in us? He says, those who believe in that have a revelation of the resurrection. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Next verse. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will be by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Next verse. So listen here, listen here, listen here. Say with me, signs, wonders, and miracles comes when we have a revelation of the cross, a revelation of the resurrection. Are you guys with me? Stand to your feet wherever you are.